Kevin Stallings. A lot to talk about here.
Indeed there is. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Ready for LSU?
I don't know.
That's a tough road trip, isn't it? They've only won 13 out of 14 in the conference this year.
Yeah, they've only won 13 in a row. They lost their first game at Alabama, and they've won 13 in a row. They're awfully good, but hopefully we'll be ready. And but they're a very, very good basketball team. I don't recall in the 10 years that I've been in the league, I don't recall anybody winning 13 in a row in this league. So that's pretty impressive accomplishment.
Coach, you have to be pretty proud of your guys. Coming off a tough trip to Athens last Wednesday, you rebounded and played the best game of the season against the top team in your division in South Carolina back on Saturday at Memorial.
Yeah, Kevin, I was proud of the way that our players responded. I was proud of the way our crowd responded, to be honest with you. I thought both of those had a chance to kind of have a major letdown, have a major foot out the door for the season, and I was very proud of the fact that on both ends of that we really responded in great fashion, I thought, and I was very happy to be the coach that night, because I thought, again, not only our players, but I thought our crowd was terrific. And so often at this time of year, at a high major school, if you're not staring the tournament down, the NCAA tournament down in the face and have a great chance to get there, a lot of times your fans will give up on you, and sometimes your players are thinking, oh well, let's just get this over with until we get to the conference tournament. And I was really happy that neither of those happened.
Kevin, I thought, most impressive was the way your staff prepared your kids. And, one of the things was noticing, off the Kentucky game when South Carolina had, 15, 16 blocks, that when the ball goes into the post, just a pump fake every now and then to sort of get their defenders a little bit off balance. And that seemed to be really effective.
Well, I think that AJ is particularly effective against good shot blockers. He has a knack for understanding, as you said, more shot fakes and positioning, and he was able to get people off their feet and draw fouls but a lot of the time, a lot of the shots he was able to shoot were at the end of their press, and they opened the floor to us, opened the court up to us by pressing us, and we were able to take advantage and make good plays at the end of that.
Jermaine Beal, nice to see him sort of break out of his mini funk. What I thought was interesting, not only did he have 27 points, but he was your leading rebounder.
Jermaine did a great job of scoring the ball, did a great job of rebounding the ball, and he did a great job defensively on Devin Downey, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do. I don't recall Devin Downey being 9 for 27 against anybody or missing that many shots. And I thought our entire team did a great job of trying to keep the ball out of the lane, particularly when it was in his hands. And that's such a tough thing to do with him because he's such a terrific player. But I thought Jermaine had just a great game. And hopefully AJ and Jermaine will continue to play like that, because I'm not saying that they're going to get 28 and 27 every night, but we're going to need them to continue to play like that as we go down the stretch here if we're going to do what we want to do.
Vanderbilt head basketball coach Kevin Stallings is our guest. And reading and hearing your comments after that game on Saturday, you said something that I thought was right on the money, that when the shots go in and the offense works like it's supposed to, all the other bad stuff just kind of goes away, doesn't it?
Well, shooting covers a multitude of sins. That's what Gene Cady used to say, and that's exactly right. So defensively in the first half, Kevin, we were very good, I thought. But in the second half, we weren't nearly as good defensively, but we continued to make shots, and so it wasn't noticeable. I shouldn't even say this because I don't really want anybody to know, but we gave up 56 points in the second half, but you really couldn't tell it because, we extended our lead, got it up to 25. We were in total control the entire time. As a matter of fact, the closest the game ever was after halftime was a final score, which was 13. And so Again, when you make shots, everything else looks better.
Shane Foster was recognized at the Dinner of Champions last night. He won the Amateur Athletics Award, which is the one that I was privileged to present there. Talk about what he meant to your program over the – I don't know, we've gotten into this before about him, but he's now playing overseas in Italy. But just kind of go back and talk for a second about what he meant to your program.
Well, Shane Foster was everything that you want a student-athlete to be, and he was a guy that, you know, he excelled academically, he excelled on the basketball court, and probably left as big a mark off the court just by his character and his personality as anybody that I've ever had pass through our program. And so he was able to have phenomenal success on the court, which not every guy does, of course, but I think just all of those things, his character, his personality, his academic effort and accomplishments, and then certainly his success on the basketball court, just made for an unbelievable career. And we thought that Shane would accomplish great things when we recruited him, but we certainly had no idea he would be as accomplished as he was by the time his 4 years were up.
Do you still feel like he might have a chance to play in the NBA at some point, or do you think he's pretty comfortable playing overseas?
It would be great for him if he had a chance to play in the NBA, and it wouldn't surprise me if his career developed and he was able to get an opportunity to play in the NBA again. I think he took an opportunity to go overseas based on just sort of the percentages. About a year ago, he made that decision, and I think that Shane's a guy that could continue to develop. I think that his body and his skills certainly are not fully developed yet, and hopefully by the time they do, he'll have another good crack at being an NBA.
Kevin, talk a little bit about what Trent Johnson's done going into LSU, and you know this as well as anybody, that when a coach comes into a new situation, sometimes the team has to bottom out a little bit. He'll want to play his own particular style, but you know, he seems to have taken what he inherited and really done a phenomenal job.
Well, you know, he's installed his system, and I mean, they're playing very much like they played at Stanford and the other places he's been, and make no mistake about it, he inherited some terrific players. I mean, they are very talented, so that needs to be said right up front. It's kind of amazing to look back into their non-conference schedule, and they go to Utah and lose by 30. So it didn't, you know, it hasn't completely been nothing but easy and successful and all of that. But I think once they got the point guard Spencer to buy in, because the story that I've heard is that Trent called him in and said, "Hey, listen, you're going to have to go because you're not buying in to what we're doing here." I think once that kid bought in, I think their team really took off. But we all know that Marcus Thornton's a terrific player. Garrett Temple is probably the best perimeter defender in college basketball. Tasman Mitchell is a great player. Chris Johnson is an exceptional player. I mean, they've got major league talent. Guys are going to play in the NBA, but I think that once the point guard kind of bought in, I think that's what set him into motion. But he's done a terrific job. I mean, you got to go in there and be who you are and be who you are as a coach. And so he's done that. Those guys have bought in. They've got great players, and they've had great success.
And wouldn't you agree that when Chris Johnson's playing well inside, they become really hard to guard?
Yeah, they do, but they're hard to guard anyway, Mark. Yeah. I mean, because Spencer's shooting 42% from three. He's the point guard. Marcus Thornton is, in some ways, he's a tougher cover, believe it or not, than Jody Meeks. As great a player as Meeks is, and I love Meeks to death because he works so hard. But I'm not so sure that Marcus Thornton doesn't have every bit of Jody Meeks' shot-making ability. And then Temple is playing better offensively, but he's just sort of their glue guy. And then Tasman Mitchell's averaging almost 20 a game. And so, Chris Johnson certainly gives them that other guy, but Tasman Mitchell scoring inside and outside, I mean, that's what's making them so difficult, is they can just score from every angle, and you can't lay off of one guy and load up on another, because they can hurt you from every spot on the floor.
I know, just from talking to you and texting back and forth with you and you being on the show, that you've done as much work on your team from the neck up, than anything else. I don't know if this is a stupid question, but has your team figured out yet how good it is?
No, and it's not a stupid question. That's Roy Williams used to say, there are no bad questions if you don't know the answer. And no, they don't know. It's my job to get them, to educate them, to understand that. But I would venture to say that they're not going to know by the end of this season. I don't think that is in our near future. But you're exactly right, Mark. We have had to do more work with this team, particularly the last few weeks, from the neck up. The whole purpose of practice yesterday, before we ever started practicing, I sat them down and asked them, what happened against South Carolina? Why did it happen? And what do we have to do to ensure that it happens again? And because I told them, obviously, this is what we want to bottle. We want to bottle up good, positive energy and emotion, and understand why it is and how it was that we got into that frame of mind to play the way we did on Saturday evening. And I forced them to talk and tell me about it. And obviously we had tried to do some things prior to the South Carolina game, some of which were referenced in the meeting. But then we went out and had a kind of an average practice. it's a challenge every day, and as hard as you work with them, and as hard as you as badly as you want them to grow and become who they can become, it's still a process. We're still somewhat in the early stages of that process. I think that everybody's kind of excited for what the possibilities are at the end of the process, but right now we're probably still in the early stages of that process.